pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
What Jesus is saying is, if your idea of the gospel is just that you get forgiven of your sin so you don't go to hell and you get to go to heaven, you've only seen a tiny part of it. This is a message of a gospel that means that you have been delivered from one kingdom to another. What Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God has come and you're seeing manifestations of it, but what's happened is that this is a kingdom of light and the other is a kingdom of darkness, and there is no comparison between light and darkness.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series You'll See, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAllen.org. That's PastorAllen.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Said, we need to go cast out a demon. I need you to come with me. She said, what? She said, no, thank you. And I said, honey, I said, you're it. I said, it's a woman. I said, I can't go alone. I need a woman, and you're a woman of faith. You can do it. And come with me. She said, we don't know what we're doing. I said, I know, but nobody else in this church does. I said, we know as much as anybody else. And I said, I need you to go. She said, I don't want to go. You got to hear her tell this story. She said, you know how these things work. She said, you know what they do in the movies? When that thing comes out, whoever's the weakest link in the room gets it. You know how it was, she said, when Jesus sent those things into the swine. She said, wonder if I'm the pig in the room. She said, I can't do it. I said, honey, we got to go. Now, come on, let's go. The time came. You can't make this stuff up. This is what happened. We walk into the car with my Bible in hand, and you can't make this up. We had a gravel driveway, no carport at that house, and they're blocking, as if guarding her from getting to the car door, was the biggest snake I'd ever seen. The only snake I ever saw in that yard, just stretched out across right in the driveway between her and it. And she looked at it, and I looked at it, and she said, well, there's an omen. Let's turn back home. And I said, I don't know. I felt some Holy Spirit boldness come up in me. I don't know. I don't know one snake from another. They're good snakes and bad snakes, but they're all snakes to me. So I went to the garden shed, and I got out the hoe, and I came out, and I hacked the thing's head off, and I flung it out of the way, and I said, get in the car. And so off we went, and we met with this dear woman. And I didn't know a thing that I was doing. All I did was I just said, well, I have the promise of God that if there's a real evil affliction here, that I may be young and I may be in my first year of ministry, but I'm here in the name of Jesus Christ. And that woman was demonstrably set free that day. And I have seen now for the 30 years hence that there is no comparison between the power of God and the power of the wicked one. And those disciples discovered it, and they came back, and they were overjoyed. It's like they had just found a new power tool. And they were like, this thing is incredible. And Jesus wanted them to see something better. He's glad that they've seen the power that's available in his name, but he wanted to invite them to a bigger vision. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That's what I want you to see. I want you not just to see that you have this power. That's wonderful. But what I want you to see is that the commander of evil has been dethroned. It is something prophesied by Isaiah in 14:12, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn, speaking of Satan. You are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. I'm glad Jesus said you've discovered power over the enemy, but I want you to see something greater than that. I want you to see your authority over the enemy. They were excited about the power, and Jesus was excited about the authority. You have both as a Christian. Like someone has said, it's like a police officer who has a badge that represents the authority to keep order. And there's a gun that's the power to enforce it if need be. But we don't want to use the gun. We want to just walk around with the authority. And that's what you want in your life. And that's what God came to do. We're fascinated by the power. They make the superheroes about power. Iron Man, more powerful than Mandarin, and
Spider-Man got more tools and power than the Green Goblin. That makes for good movies. But what you want in real life is good order that comes from right authority. That's what you want. That's parenting. We have parents. We got the power to control and punish and discipline and spank and whatever. You got all the power. But that's not the kind of household you want. You don't want to be having to use the power all the time. You just want authority. I always wanted to be like, you know, I didn't want to have to do anything more than just look. Not even more than one set, just look. Oh, okay, there we go. The badge came out. You want good order. You want well-ordered life and live in that. It's why I hardly ever talk about the devil, do I? I hardly ever talk about any of this. Why? Because we don't come to church expecting that we're going to have to go around and cast out a bunch of demons and have to do all this power display. No, we come and we just walk in the authority that's ours. So every Sunday morning, first thing we do at 9 a.m. is a prayer team gathers and begins rejoicing in the Lord and saying, God, we thank you. This is your property. This is your time. This is your people. This is your place. And it all belongs to you, and none of it belongs to the enemy. And therefore, we take our rightful position of authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we plead the finished work of Christ, and his blood figuratively is covering this entire property and all the people who come here, so that there'll be no enemy interference. We won't allow it, not for a moment. Instead, Father, we're here to exalt you and to lift you up. And we just thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. And that's authority. Don't come in and go, oh, no, we might be facing some evil today. We better be ready. Is everybody ready to get your power going? No, we just walk in that confidence. And that's what Jesus was saying. I want you to walk in the confidence. He's saying, what I really want you to be excited about is that your names are written in heaven. He's talking about the book of life that Daniel prophesied in Daniel 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. The book. Everybody knew of the book, the heavenly book, the book of life. Paul spoke about it offhandedly in Philippians 4. Yes, I ask you, true companion, to help these women and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. There it is in Revelation 3, 5. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. Now, what Jesus is saying is, okay, this is great. You're excited. You've seen that the power of the Holy Spirit can move through you when I've delegated authority to you. But here's what I want you to know, and here's what you're going to come to be aware of, is that you have been written into the book of life as a child of God. And if a child of God, then an heir of God and a co-heir with me, which means that that which has been entrusted to me is entrusted to you. That which should have just blessed me has blessed you. You have a co-heirship with me. It is about who you are, not just what you can do. And no demon and no power of hell and no calamity can ever pluck you from my hand, because your names are indelibly written in the book of life. As soon as you confess Christ as your Savior and Lord, it is figuratively as your name is etched into an eternal book and it cannot be taken out. I want you to live like that, Jesus is saying. Being so sure of victory. I could give you 100 reasons today why I think Jesus is wanting them to see this and explain it, but I'm gonna give you 3 of how you can be so sure of victory in Jesus Christ. And the first is this: God is God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth, and the devil and all his minions are just creatures.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series. Want to give someone a present this Christmas that they'll never forget? Let us help you give a gift that money can't buy. This Christmas, give someone your blessing, a positive, biblically-based, faith-filled vision for their life. In the beginning, God blessed Adam and Eve and then told them to be fruitful and multiply, because in God's design, blessing isn't the reward for productivity, it's the fuel for it. Now, more than ever, someone you love needs your blessing, and we're here to help you craft it. This month's special offer from Alan Wright is a beautiful booklet that will teach you how to craft a meaningful blessing. The easy step-by-step instructions are biblically based and even include a worksheet that helps you write your blessing. So this Christmas, give someone you love a present not found in stores, a gift from your own heart that will encourage and empower. Write down the blessing and put it in a package under the tree or put it in your Christmas card. They'll never forget it. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries this month, we'll send you this booklet as our thank you so you can discover the power to bless. Call us at 877-544-4860 or visit PastorAlan.org. Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There is no one else who can create something out of nothing except the Creator. And He's the Creator of the ends of the earth, and there is no one like Him. He has made everything that exists. Think about it. Some years ago in preaching Genesis, I just started studying how big the cosmos is. Just thinking about the whirlpool galaxy that is perpendicular to us, 31 million light years away from where we're sitting. 31 million light years? How do you wrap your mind around that? Light travels 186,000 miles a second. A light year is how far light travels in a year. It travels 5.88 trillion miles in a year. And so the whirlpool galaxy is 31 million times 5.88 trillion miles just to get there. And if you got there, you'd see some of the biggest stars. Our sun is not a very big star. It may be 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on its surface, 93 million miles away, and it might be a million times the size of the Earth, but consider something like Canis Majoris. Canis Majoris, the big dog star. Well, if you could imagine it, if you were to think of the Earth as a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be like Mount Everest. 7 quadrillion Earths could fit inside that one star. And God made hundreds of billions of galaxies filled with hundreds of billions of such stars. And I'm here to tell you, the devil can't do that.
Amen.
God made DNA and the human cell, the human genome, because He is all-knowing. He is intelligence personified. The devil's a limited creature who hates God and hates the people of God, but he's just a creature. And no creature can tell the Creator what to do. Here's your first assurance: great big God and little bitty devil. Here's your second assurance. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God has arrived and you are a citizen of it, and nothing can change that. He's saying this at verse 11 of Luke 10, "Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet will wipe it off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near." He's saying, if you go into a town and nobody there receives your message and you don't see any fruit, well, you can wipe the dust off your feet, but just don't ever forget this. No matter what you see with your eyes, the kingdom of God has come, and it's at hand. This is a kingdom that is being proven by what you're seeing. In Luke 11, verse 20, Jesus said, "If it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Colossians, Paul said in chapter 1, verse 11, "Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light." He's qualified you, beloved. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What Jesus is saying is, if your idea of the gospel is just that you get forgiven of your sin so you don't go to hell and you get to go to heaven, you've only seen a tiny part of it. This is a message of a gospel that means that you have been delivered from one kingdom to another. What Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God has come and you're seeing manifestations of it, but what's happened is that this is a kingdom of light and the other is a kingdom of darkness, and there is no comparison between light and darkness. Always look at it this way. You could go into the darkest room and light the smallest little candle, and it will dispel darkness. The tiniest little bit of light will dispel darkness. But there is no such thing as going into a bright room and shining a beam of darkness to make it darker. It doesn't happen, because darkness is not an energy. It is the absence of light. Satan is described as the father of lies, and all of hell is built upon blocking light. And so it is that the kingdom of light has come in the person of Jesus Christ and has dislodged and is utterly displacing the kingdom of darkness. And one day Jesus will come back and consummate all of this. There's no comparison. A new kingdom has come, and you are a citizen of the new kingdom. And still brush up against those in the kingdom of darkness, and so there'll be skirmishes. And here's the final thing I wanted to say to assure you of this victory that's yours. The accuser has lost his voice, and so he has no legal standing against you. This is really what Paul is talking about in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, until he comes to this great crescendo in Romans 8. If God is for us, who could be against us? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? He's saying, okay, if this were a court of law, who could bring a charge against a Christian? And what he says, essentially, is it's God who justifies, so who could condemn you? And essentially he's saying, Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who's at the right hand of God, who's interceding for us. He's saying the only one who could condemn you, who would have the right to sit in that seat of judgment and condemn you, the only one who could, Jesus, died for you because he loves you so much. And instead of condemning you, he is eternally interceding for you. He is mediating for you. He is wanting the best for you. The only one who had the right to condemn you and accuse you loves you and wants the very best for you. So when you become a Christian, what happens is that you get assured that nothing could ever separate you from the love of God. That's why Paul says at verse 37, "And all these things were more than conquerors. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ." Because what he's saying is the devil has lost his voice. The accuser has no accusation left. Because, beloved, here's what it means to be a Christian. It means that Jesus has so fully paid your debt that there is no debt left. So no one can come and claim a debt if the debt doesn't exist. It means that he has so thoroughly paid and taken the punishment for your sins and for mine that there is no punishment that remains. It would be unjust if a judge were to punish two people for the same crime. And this punishment that Jesus has taken has been thorough and complete and has blotted out all of our sins, so that God in Jesus Christ is both just and justifier. And when you accept Christ, God has reckoned you as righteous, and it is just as if you had never sinned. And therefore, we don't fight a battle against the voice of condemnation by trying to defend ourselves. We fight the battle by saying, you have no standing to bring an accusation against me. I've already been declared not guilty, righteous, and that case is over. You know, it was so interesting after that lawsuit when we'd spent all that money and we're trying to pull ourselves together, and before we had had all this money restored by different means. I was in an executive team meeting one day, and I was kind of whining a little bit. I said, boy, it wouldn't have been good if we hadn't had to spend all that money and got nothing to show for it. And Mickey, our executive director, interrupted me and said, oh, that's not true. He said, we did get something for it. He said, remember this, the judge has consigned what's called a consent order. And it's filed downtown. And a consent order means that what has hereby been declared is a settled matter, and no one can bring it up any ever again. No one can ever sue you over this again. No one ever could bring up these issues again. And the judge has the right to stop anybody that even tries to, even the right to put somebody in jail if they violate that consent order. And Mickey said, we did get something for our $600,000. We got forever, permanent, free, clear title to this property that cannot be disputed. We won't even have to fight that battle ever again. And I'm saying to be a Christian means that Jesus has accomplished something so full and so complete for you that, yes, you may have skirmishes, but you are not trying to win a war. This war has already been won. some years ago, it was a Humphrey Bogart movie, and a strange concluding type scene where at the climax of this movie, a criminal has taken a family hostage and is holding the youngest son of the family by holding a gun next to that little boy's head, is kept the whole family captive while he's waiting on demands. And the scene continues for a long time, and people begin getting tired, and you start going, who will fall asleep first? And one by one, the children, the wife, they fall asleep, and then the father falls asleep. Seeing that everyone has finally fallen asleep, the criminal allows himself to just doze off. But as soon as the criminal dozes off, the father opens his eyes. He'd only been pretending. And he did an unusual thing that added drama to the scene. He walked over and slowly removed the gun out of the criminal's hands. And instead of just taking it and shooting the criminal, he took every one of the bullets out and put the gun back into that criminal's hand, went back over to his place. And in a few moments, he startled everyone by saying, son, come to your father. The little boy had no idea what to do because the criminal's gun is right at his head. But his father said again, trust me, run to your daddy. And that little boy must have been so confused because on the one hand, he has no real life here in the criminal's hand. What kind of life is that? It's bondage, but at least he was breathing. But it seems like certain death to run to his father. But a third time, the father said, come to me, and held out his arms. In a moment, it must have been filled with 10,000 emotions. That little boy flung himself out of that criminal's arms and ran across to his father's embrace while the gun went click, click, click. Paul said that Jesus has disarmed the principalities. It means that he has removed the bullets from the enemy's gun. It means that you're safe. It means, therefore, that though you will have trouble in this world, you can live it as if you taped the whole game. Jesus wants you to see this. Satan has fallen like lightning from heaven. That means Jesus is in charge, and we're on his team. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright. That's good news. It's our good news message today, seeing the victory that Jesus sees, from the series You'll See. Well, Pastor Alan is back with us in the studio, sharing a parting good news thought for the day here in just a moment. Stick with us. Want to give someone a present this Christmas that they'll never forget? Let us help you give a gift that money can't buy. This Christmas, give someone your blessing, a positive, biblically-based, faith-filled vision for their life. In the beginning, God blessed Adam and Eve and then told them to be fruitful and multiply. Because in God's design, blessing isn't the reward for productivity, it's the fuel for it. Now, more than ever, someone you love needs your blessing, and we're here to help you craft it. This month's special offer from Alan Wright is a beautiful booklet that will teach you how to craft a meaningful blessing. The easy step-by-step instructions are biblically based and even include a worksheet that helps you write your blessing. So this Christmas, give someone you love a present not found in stores, a gift from your own heart that will encourage and empower. Write down the blessing and put it in a package under the tree or put it in your Christmas card. They'll never forget it. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries this month, we'll send you this booklet as our thank you so you can discover the power to bless. Call us at 877-544-4860 or visit PastorAllen.org. Back here in the studio with Pastor Allen's good news thought for the day, and how might our lives be lived differently if we could really see the victory that Christ sees for us?
Well, I think that seeing the end victory from the beginning causes us to lose so much of our anxiety during the midst of the battle. You know, like watching a game that you already know your team won. You don't worry about it so much. Well, I think in a real sense, that's what it means to have Jesus' eyes about the victory. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Well, Jesus has seen the ultimate victory, and he knows what he's accomplished. And so we need Jesus' eyes, because in this world, we're going to face trouble, and we're going to face temptation, and we're going to be in a spiritual battle, and sometimes have direct spiritual oppression coming against us. And we need to learn how to walk with the fullness of our authority and walk in the confidence that we're wearing the armor of God. So all of this we know is there. It's available. But how do you walk in that? And I suggest it's by getting Jesus's eyes. How do you see the spiritual battle, Jesus? And he will show you, and it'll change everything.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.